Hello, welcome to this new episode of All Out for No Loss. In the last episode, we talked about what happened at the GABA and how the series was left at a knife's edge, with both the remaining tests being live in terms of the value to the series and the WTC. In today's episode, however, we are going to move away from the series and we are going to talk about one of India's greatest cricketers who just announced his retirement from the international stage, R. Ashwin. Ashwin came to the fore with some very good performances for CSK in 2009 and 2010, and that helped him get an India cap in 2010. I believe that he had his ODI and T20 debuts. There was not much that came out of those two series. He made his test debut against the West Indies. I think it was in Delhi in 2011. Started off very well. Had a very good series. In fact, finished as the man of the series. He had 100 in Mumbai. And in the second innings, he almost pulled off a win for us, which would have given us a 3-0 win in that series. So it was quite a good start to his test career. And he went from strength to strength. And over the years, kept on performing for India, especially at home, taking tons of wickets, the highest wicket taker for India at home. In the middle, he managed to score 6 test centuries and contributed to the ODI and the T20I teams in some very critical games. Bowled the final over in the Champions Trophy 2013, which helped us win that, and was also part of the 2011 World Cup winning team. But it was in tests where his star shone the brightest. If you look at his stats, which we will talk about as we go on in the session, we will understand how much of an impact he had for India through his career.
India's best match winner, I think I can say that safely without having to add arguably to it, because, you know, he's arguably the second best spinner after Kumble, because Kumble was leagues ahead when performing overseas. Kumble also bowled in flatter tracks, did not have DRS. Arguably the best all-rounder India produced. I say that with all reverence to Kapil Dev. So the arguably applies for the all-rounder position as well. But just the fact that we can mention Ashwin's name in the same league as Kapil Dev is quite remarkable in itself. But in sheer terms of match-winning performances and creating the bookended series wins between 2012 and 2024, I think Ashwin was the best match winner India produced. He's much maligned for his performance overseas. So I was looking at the overseas performance numbers for Indian spinners, and Ashwin has the best average and best strike rate among all India spinners. And if we consider the one neutral test he played in, he's the second best in terms of wicket taker as well, just behind Kumble. He only played 41 test matches overseas. My mind does speculate if he had more time to sort out South Africa and England conditions, he would have definitely improved. Ashwin, the bowler in Australia, improved by leaps and bounds in every tour he went on. And I think the most remarkable thing about Ashwin is he was a continuous learner. He had all the tricks of a finger spinner. He had the drift. He had control. He had the variations. He bowled with a half sleeve shirt. What else can you do? And he did it over 15 years. I do wish he had aired in more pleasant circumstances, but it's what it is. For me, I think he is India's most successful match winner in tests. And that's how I look at him.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like, I was trying to remember like when he kind of came into our focus. Like most modern day cricketers started with the white ball. And interesting bit of trivia, like the first T20 he played was against Zimbabwe back in 2011. And I see the name Prosper Utsaya, Zimbabwe's scorecard. And Prosper Utsaya is now a coach with the San Ramon Cricket Academy, getting very close to where we are. So this is a wild connection to where we are and Ravi Ashwin. But like wasn't pointed out, even with the white ball going on, he did have a role in that World Cup, 2011 World Cup, but kind of just took center stage once they gave him the red ball. It was kind of almost passing on a baton from one generation to another, although we think of it in terms of batters giving in to batters. For us, coming out of the Sachin era, to the next round of champs, and Ashwin was definitely one among them. From there, I think it was quite existing for us who love stats and who love records to see him start breaking multiple records to become the fastest, to get 50 test wickets, 100 test wickets, and so on. And even one such series, I think they tried his best to win a game where it was heading to a draw, and then we were able to draw when the scores were level.
Yeah, that is the match I was referring to earlier on, the third test. Right. We had 2 wickets to go and we needed 2 runs to win. He blocked the first one because we only had 2 wickets. He didn't want to take a chance of losing the game. And then, unfortunately, he couldn't get 2. He only got 1 run in the last ball.
And from that point to his T20 against Pakistan, no less, to once again come and, you know, try and get the same 2 runs, I think, and left the ball to level the scores. And one of the best leaves in the game, I thought. You've seen the Dravids and the Gavaskars of the world leave the ball on the off stump. For once, we were all cheering somebody who left it on the leg stump. And then, of course, he hit the winning shot the very next ball. So, guy was giving us many peaks. I was not too worried about the way he left the game. I think he has things to do, which I'm more than eager to look forward to. The guy has reinvented himself as a very savvy media person. He knows how to play to his strengths, which is your pakka local Tamil boy who is just obsessed with the game and can draw out random statistics and link it to various aspects of the game. If we as podcasters don't see that as our idol, then what is our idol, right? So he is our ultimate megastar when it comes to all of those things. And to see him now getting freed up, not only that, and also to become CSK's ambassador for academies worldwide is another interesting thing. For those who don't know, there's already talks of CSK signing up with one of various premier academies, Strikers Academy. So I'm looking forward to that.
Fantastic. I don't know, with Ashwin, where do you really start, right? I remember him bowling that last over in the 20 Champions Trophy, but his role actually was not that last over. It was that important Ishan Sharma over, where that turning point where, you know, Dhoni called out on Ishan Sharma out of the blue and asked him to bowl. Ashwin held 2 catches in that over. He first held Ian Morgan, I think, at mid-wicket, and then he ran all the way to the stand next to the square leg umpire. And sure enough, the next ball came to him there as a catch, which was, you know, for the right-hander and then the left-hander.
Yeah, that was Ravi Bopara.
That was Ravi Bopara. So when you think about memories of Ashwin, you know, that's the first one that comes to me, how he strategically placed himself for the 2 catches there. And then, of course, the other Ashwin performance I simply cannot forget is that last day at the Chinnaswamy Stadium in 2017, the Australia Test match. We should spend some time on that Test match and what Ashwin did there. I mean, he was obviously at the peak of his powers then. The ball did exactly what he wanted the ball to. That last day when he had to, I don't remember the figures, I looked them up, but it was basically, I think, Ashwin taking a 6 for 5 for 6 for something like that.
It was a 6 for, I think, 6 for 43.
To close the game. I'll start with those two moments as my Ashwin memories, and then we'll probably do a little bit more around the table.
Just to take off on the point about his overseas career, he was a stellar performer in Bangladesh, in Sri Lanka, and West Indies. No two ways. There's always this question about he doesn't bowl very well in Sena, which is not necessarily correct. He has bowled all of 1 inning in New Zealand and he picked up 3 for 99, and Ishan Sharma got 5 wickets. We lost that game. He didn't bowl in the second innings. That's all he played in New Zealand. 1 test. In England, he actually averages 28, which is very impressive. Nobody's even close.
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah, there is nobody even close. He's at 28. And then we've got Vinu Mankad at 33, Chandrasekhar at 34. Even Kapil Dev is further down. So in England, he did bowl well.
7 tests, 18 wickets, 28 average, 2.52 economy, brilliant. A strike rate of 66.
And in Australia, he had a tough initiation, the first tour. But he got better and better as each tour passed. And he was a threat. In fact, what stood out is every single Australian in this team feels that this guy is a difficult bowler to face. Every one of them said, oh, him, very tough. And Kerry O'Keefe made a lovely description of him in the last tour, that this guy had multiple patterns and multiple variations. So n-dimensional in terms of his skill set and what he could do. Very, very respected. So in reality, the only place where things just did not go well for him was South Africa. And that was also his bugbear, because in 2013 at Joburg, he had a poor game. Dhoni dropped him. 6 tests he didn't play. He came back towards the end of that England series. But that is Ashwin and Senna. It is not as bad as people were saying. What I was referring to here is that I think it's a bit of a misconception that Ashwin was not a good bowler overseas. It's just that he hadn't played much.
He was not a match winner in Senna. Even that is not true when it comes to Australia, because a couple of games where he was a match winner, right? I think what happens with Ashwin is we compare his performances in Senna to his performances in India, and he does not stand up to that level that he has set for himself. So he appears to be not as good. But as Vasant pointed out, if he had given enough time in South Africa, he would have probably sorted it out. That's how I feel. My memory of Ashwin, I think, personally reflecting, particularly the subcontinent, if he did not take a fifer, that was a surprise. Him taking a fifer was expected. So I tend to remember his batting exploits more than his bowling exploits. When I think of Ashwin, I think of the third test, the Thai test that Vasant talked about. I think about Mirpur. I think about the 2 Chennai centuries. I also think about Sydney. Sydney and Mirpur are a league apart from the rest. But even if you look at his first century, I think if I remember right, India was 6 down for 130 odd, and with Virat Kohli on the other side, and that's when they strung it, right? So Mirpur was completely won by him. The last Chennai test against Bangladesh was won by him and Jadeja. So there are tests where Ashwin won with his bat alone.
Let me add one more thing to this issue of his batting. 5 of his centuries made when the team was in trouble. In Chennai, 2 times. One against England, we were 101 for 6. He hit 100. We finished at 270. In Bangladesh, we were 144 for 6. He hit 100. And then in Rohit Sharma's debut test, I think we were about 130 for 6 or something. And Rohit Sharma and Ashwin put up a huge partnership to make it happen. And then, of course, that third test that he played against West Indies when we were chasing some 250 odd, this guy hit 102 in that game, the first innings. So he has batted well when it mattered on several occasions. And that actually is a big, big thing. Some of us don't remember, but there was a 70 against England at Rajkot in 2016, a match that we could easily have lost, but for what his first and second innings batting, first innings 70, second innings, I think 32, where we held off a potential England comeback, after which we just thrashed them in the remaining 4 games. So yes, Anand, you're spot on. His batting has often been not noticed.
Oh, we do notice him. Yeah. We do notice him when he does not deliver, right? And going recency bias notwithstanding, I'm reading Ashwin's book, Into the Streets or From the Streets, right now. And when he started playing, he started batting on matted wickets on a concrete pitch. So his batting revolves around pulls and cuts. He's apparently a very strong puller. That is where his game is built upon. So whenever we think of Ashwin fancying a pull against fast bowlers, it goes back 30 years. He's been pulling from age 8. So of course, we do remember Ashwin when he failed. We remember his last dismissal against Pat Cummins. We also remember the reverse sweep, probably the TNPL carryover in Wankhede against New Zealand. And those are the 2 things that we remember. We get frustrated, right? And even when it comes to some of his most iconic batting moments, it's the well left, the time he did not touch the ball that we remember. So I think Ashwin, unfortunately for him, we expect so much of him that whenever he does not deliver is when we feel disappointed as fans, I think.
I think, you know, as it pertains to his overseas record per se, and kind of combining the whole batting aspect that Alan just brought out, we should focus some time on his amazing performance in the West Indies, where he played 6 tests, scored 200s, and his bowling in West Indies is mind-blowing. He has an average of 19, which is crazy. a strike rate of 41, which is just as crazy. And in six tests, he has 32 wickets. And this on top of that series where he made 200s and ended up as the man of the series. Literally this one-man army when he gets to the West Indies, which I think was another point that people don't talk about enough when they say, oh, but Ashwin is a failure overseas. No, West Indies is overseas.
Yeah, I think it is that West Indies series in 2016 where he kind of etched his never say die attitude. Because if you think about it, the first century was in a partnership with Dhiman Saha. So that Saha business and never say die go together. For those who understand Tamil, I think you'll get it. They came together when they were, India was 100 and odd for five, and they stitched together 200 something partnership. And of course, more recently, the Bangladesh test match between him and Shreyas Iyer also stands out as one of his better batting performances that basically pulled India out of trouble. I was just wondering, like, you know, so he's done so much over a period of time. I think Anand already called out, we tend to expect a lot from him. And then when there is a slip, it kind of blows up. And immediately people start going after his head. There have been other instances of Indian cricket, especially, who's had success over a long period of time, but still continuously their place in the team has been threatened every time some changes come to either the format or place where they're playing, things like that. So I think he's always lived under the threat, which is kind of remarkable given how consistent he has been otherwise.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, any other superstar of the game in India tends to get a very long rope. They love failures for some time. And there are several who have survived for years. He had years of Kapil Dev doing literally nothing. He had Gavaskar having his own problems. Even Sachin had some poor patches by his lofty standards. And Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma, all these guys have been through tough times. And MS Dhoni. But nobody has been really threatened with a loss of place or anything. Rohit Sharma, maybe to some extent, people just kept on getting upset at the way he used to get out, because it was very visible that this guy is gifted. And people have had a tendency to feel that he just throwing away his wicket, at least in the earlier years. And which is why he had a start-stop career in all formats until he sort of settled down. But no other cricketer has gone through this much of scrutiny. In fact, there was a lot of chatter in the early years that he was in the team because of him being part of CSK. And that's why Ashwin and Jadeja were in the team. Now, anybody who looks at the numbers today will have no hesitation saying that Ashwin and Jadeja have been the most successful spinners for India. That 18 series victory streak at home is largely because of them. And this is not just because they were playing for CSK. I think Stephen Fleming put it best, that the dropping of Harbhajan was not because of Harbhajan. It's just because of the development of Ashwin. Rather unfortunate that this guy has had to go through all these uncertainties as to whether he'll play, not play, the criticism. It didn't seem warranted. Not for somebody who's got so many wickets, so many good performances, so many winning performances. 11 player of the series awards is not a joke. I know this, I'm sounding like a fanboy of sorts, but this is just pure numbers.
Jeff Lemon from The Final Word did this brilliant analysis that he spoke about on their podcast. So turns out that, you know, between November of 2011, when he played that first test, and this last test that just got over, in that time frame, Ashwin's career, India played 50 games in Sena, 50 test matches. Ashwin participated in 19 of them. That is a stat of the day. And then Jeff did a brilliant job, by the way, of walking through. Okay, so he started off in Australia in 2011. This is what happened. Then they went to New Zealand. He played one. He didn't play the other. Then they went to South Africa. Dhoni got pissed with him and dropped him. So he kind of went through the entire sequence. But yeah, he's just played 19 tests. You know, Anand said this offline to some of us many, many times, right? Could he have been given enough tests to play to go past Anil Kumble's 619 mark? And the answer is, if out of 50 tests, he played only 19, I mean, fine, you can still drop him here and there. But even if he had played like twice the actual number of tests that he actually ended up playing, he would have had 130 tests and he would have certainly had 19 wickets. That, I thought, was part of the Tragic. Like
maybe the Australian tour, he might have missed one due to injury. I think he had a side strain. Yeah, so he might have missed like one or two due to injury. And then he also played with injury. That was another problem we had with him. But what is it? He played his 100th test. There's also the series where Johnny Bairstow played his 100th test. And we were like totally confounded by the fact that for folks who kind of debuted around the same time, an all-time great gets to play the same number of tests as somebody who won't even feature in the third best all-time 11 of England. My point being that he missed somewhere around half of the tests that India played overseas during this career. And that will always be the what if for us around Ashwin.
I've read a few, apologies from Ashwin's friends. I'm actually reading his book as well, as I mentioned. I think Ashwin can be a very annoying person to have around you. First of all, he's a super nerd, and I think he's exceptionally smart. And I think it worked against him. That's just my speculation. But, you know, even Abhinav Mukund basically says it in so many words. I wonder how much of his being dropped is due to his personality. Looks like a type A character, right? I mean, so that's one. The other thought that I had, which I think we should talk about, is Jared Kimber basically called him the Vaughn of his generation. He said, Ashwin was as good as Shane Vaughn, except that Shane Vaughn was more TV friendly, as in not his theatrics or whatever, just the way his balls turned or whatever. With Ashwin, you needed expert commentator to explain what Ashwin is doing. You have to explain the drift. You have to explain the undercutter. You have to explain how the undercutter is the equivalent of a flipper. You have to explain that is how he got so many left-handers out. With Vaughn, either the commentators called it out or it was very visual. With Ashwin, it was all subtle. The experienced viewers knew it. And when I was thinking about the comparison of Ashwin being his generation's Warney, it occurred to me that just like Warney, Ashwin was probably the captain India never had. But something else to ponder about.
Good point you raise, Anand. I mean, the visual aspect of Vaughn versus Ashwin. To this day, what is considered to be Ashwin's greatest ever delivery, the one that they talk about most, was actually a carom ball that pitched outside the leg and spun right across and took Amla's off stump in a white ball game. It was a terrific delivery, but that was visually appealing because it pitched outside the leg stump and even somebody like Amla just couldn't read it and then it took the top of off. But they don't talk about how he got Ollie Pope back in 2021 series, I think, when the ball just drifted around the bat and it sort of made a little circle around the bat to hit the off stump. Those nuances are not easily available. I didn't realize it until the folks in 81 All Out explained what happened. And then I went back and looked at the video and realized.
I mean, there have been other in-your-face characters in the Indian team, right? So, say, most close to Ashwin would be somebody like Harbhajan. Harbhajan is outspoken, he has his opinions, and I think he goes after, I mean, even slaps people when he feels like it. So how much more in-your-face can you be, right? We're all speculating here. We don't know really what went through. And even when we got introduced to such high-sounding words like template to explain why he's not being in the team, there was also a logical reason as to why Jadeja was in the team and he was not. Besides, there was also that Jesar Ashwin was not a good fielder. You can't rely on him for a five-day game, even Kumble for that matter. They just can't be good outfielders. They are safe in catching, but the more and more game became aggressive, they needed good outfielders who could run around, do sweeper position as well as, you know, take spectacular catches when the need arises. So all in all, I think it was just that the balance, Jadeja's availability just affected Ashwin's usability to the team. And secondly, like, you know, we became a force to reckon with in world cricket only after we started putting together the five bowler strategy, and four of them being pace bowlers outside of Southeast Asia. So, I mean, can't always blame on personality keeping somebody out.
There is also one thing I think, if Hardik Pandya was playing the red ball, he'd be batting in the top six because he's a good enough batter. And that changes the equation completely. Then you can play your attacking spinner, you can play your defensive spinner, you can play three quicks, and you can play Hardik Pandya. and that makes it a gun attack.
Remember, that template actually was used in England at Trent Bridge, where Hardik Pandya, playing in the top six as a batter, ended up taking a fiver with the ball in a game Ashwin played, and we won. That was the, unfortunately, the 2018 series does not have good memories for Ashwin otherwise, including the very famous Southampton game. But that game just reiterates the point you made, Vasant, which is, had we seen more of Hardik Pandya, who was a competent bowler and a competent batsman, yeah, we would have seen more of him as the lone spinner in Sena. We would not have been compelled to play Ravindra Jadeja at seven at that point.
And of course, the fundamental fact that after the retirement of Kapil Dev, other than Hardik Pandya, there's been no Indian cricketer who can bowl seam and bat competently. You're going in with one whole discipline missing in your cupboard. The nearest we got was Irfan Pathan and Stuart Binney. That says a lot.
Vasant, you forget the Lord, but I'll let it pass.
Yes, we did have the Lord very briefly.
So the Lord is all perception. I looked at
his... He hasn't retired yet. Yeah.
No, he hasn't.
Still there.
I looked at his test record and it's pretty... Shardul Thakur's test record is pretty bad. I think he had one good game with the bat and one good game with the ball, and that was it.
He had a couple of decent games. I think we won the Oval Test in 2021. Large parts to Shardul Thakur. I think scored a twin 50 in both innings. Didn't do well with the ball, but arrived with the bat. Of course, Gabba is no. I mean, he was brilliant with both bat and ball. Barely missed out on a fifer in the second innings when he actually took the catch that gave Siraj the fifth wicket and got him stopped at like four. And then I remember the sevenfer he took in
Headingley when we were rolled over very early and he fought helped the fight back. We were rolled over on a green wicket, but we fought back. This guy took a sevenfer, but we had given away too much ground to fight that battle.
I do have to say one thing about Ashwin's fielding. Again, I'm reading his book. He made his debut in whatever they call as Chennai Division 5 as a 12, 13-year-old for his fielding because he was apparently an exceptional catcher. Like, you put him anywhere and he would catch like crazy. And he was tall and all of that good stuff.
If you pick the top 10 fielders of all time, Jadeja will feature in it. So it was very easy decision if you are just looking to pick one or the other. And as a captain, when you have like four pace bowlers in the team who are not going to run around for long, you needed a gun fielder and that delivered.
How much of a role do you guys think losing that WTC final, the first final against New Zealand, how much of that did play a role?
No, Ashwin was the best bowler in that game. So I don't think that would have...
No, actually, I disagree with you, Vijay. He was the best bowler for us. He took four for some very little. But the issue was the team management at that time realized that when they were playing in such conditions, they needed four quicks. They could not afford the first change and the second change such that, okay, two quicks bowl and then we have one quick and one spinner bowling. It just didn't work. Now, that's what they're doing now here because Nitish Reddy doesn't count too much. For most part, they managed to squeeze out one or two overs of Nitish Reddy and they'll rotate the three. But the fact of the matter is the team management of those days said, no matter what, we have to have four guys. Four quicks, two will bowl, and then the other two will bowl. And then it just became a shootout between who'll going to warm the bench, Ashwin or Jadeja. And that pretty much was the last time he played in England, right?
Other items, we've always seen Ashwin being compared with his contemporary Nathan Lyon. And there is good cause to argue that sometimes it looked like Lyon was better than Ashwin in Indian conditions. I think he has had better results in India than any other Aussie spinner. So that sometimes would be like, every time he did well, it almost looked like it would be in some sort of a rut at the time. So adds to that idea that had Ashwin been an Australian, he would have been his first choice and played about 200 tests. So those are all, again, speculations. Just to point out the fact that over a long career, you're going to find certain things that didn't work out as expected. But I think it's Ashwin's bad luck that sometimes he got defined by those
That's because people don't pay attention to what's going on, right? If you compare the test that both of them played, which is the best comparison possible, you'll find that Ashwin completely outbowled Lyon in India and was equivalent to Lyon in Australia, even though he had a terrible first series. And I think everybody, even the Australians, agreed in the last time around that Ashwin did outbowl Lyon in that series. So it takes time. Some of these guys know every blade of grass in the stadium. The other day, Waseem Akram was talking about playing in Auckland. How difficult it will be a captain in Auckland because you have no idea about the angles. It's the weirdest ground in the world.
Yeah.
So it's tough. You go to Lords, there is a slope and it takes time to settle down.
Yeah. And just to add to that point, like, yes, we all know that he had trouble overseas, but there's a good article in Wisden where they have a graphical representation of how his average matched against the opposition spinner in the same matches. And up until 10 test matches, his average is actually higher than the opposition. But then it started going down and he was always had a lower average than the opposite bowler and stayed there. Like he was acclimatizing quite well after that initial phase.
Yes. Case in point, yeah, this Saturday, so again, Lyon bowled one over, right? And Ashwin's spell of 17 overs is considered one of the best he has bowled. Just doesn't have the wickets to show, but you know, he's always held his ground.
Yeah, it was so good that the Bison walked away without even nicking.
And it was so good that even Harbhajan said it was very good, which is a huge compliment given his fundamental dislike for Ashwin.
Yeah, but it's funny that, you know, the last thing we will remember about Ashwin in terms of wickets, wicket number 537 was that Bison nick, not nick, we don't know which one, dismissal.
But then again, overseas aside, wasn't, I think earlier this week you pointed out that, which I didn't know actually, he hasn't missed a single home test in all of this. He's played every home test. He is the first choice when it comes to home tests. Barring the last New Zealand series, I have a feeling whoever will be the next captain for a home series is going to miss him terribly.
65 home tests, 383 wickets, average of 21.57, economy rate of 2.1, and strike rate of 46. Nothing short of sensational. 29 fifers, 6 10 wickets in a match, 65 tests in a row for India. That's the impact he had.
As Preeti Ashwin pointed out, Ashwin mentioned somewhere where they were watching a Duleep Trophy game and Preeti Ashwin asked Ashwin if this guy who was bowling was off-spinner, and Ashwin said yes. And Preeti said, he should be cursing you. When are you going to retire so he can have a chance? So he's not, he's being in an alternate universe, right? The same universe, perhaps, just as much as we complain that Ashwin being the number one spinner, like there were a series of bowlers who never had that opportunity. And I think Ashwin also knows that. Definitely Preeti knows that, looks like.
Yeah, that could explain why somebody like a Jalaj Saxena never played a test match for India, right? That stat right there, tests on the trot.
I also have a theory why he was so good at day-night tests. I mean, if you have a name, Ravi Chandran, you have to be good at day-night games.
It's very clear that he's done a lot in tests. And we can't discount his white ball games also. He was so critical to so many wins. I don't know how many people remember the game against West Indies in Perth in the 25th World Cup. The one wherein we won 7 games in a row. We were in trouble. We were chasing 184, 185 or thereabouts. And we were 100 for 6. And then Dhoni and Ashwin calmly took us home. It was perhaps the only time he really had a decent at-bat. Who will forget that leave? That to this day, the courage it takes to let a ball go for a wide in a high-pressure match against Pakistan, 90,000 people watching you and 1.9 billion people following this game, was incredible.
The very fact that he was selected into that World Cup squad in itself was amazing because he was nowhere in the white ball game. I think he had a strong season in the IPL that year. He suddenly came back into the reckoning. Hadn't played, you know, for the country in a few years, if I recall. And then, boom, suddenly he is in that T20 squad. He wins the game against Pakistan.
The 50-over World Cup as well, right? Suddenly, we found him ahead of Akshar Patel in the picking. When the need came, he was able to push himself to give those performances that made it really impossible to not pick him, right? Signs of a fighter.
Yeah. Ashwin almost won 3 World Cups by not being in the playing 11. He ended up with 2.
If one was to look at his overall record, economy rate of 4.93 and a strike rate of 40, which is pretty, pretty decent when half of the career was on the days with bigger bats, smaller grounds and whatnot. And his T20, his economy rate is 6.9 with a strike rate of 20.1. But that 6.9 stands out. It's not like he's played a ton of T20I matches. He's played just 65. But somewhere down the line, I think MS Dhoni lost faith in him as a white ball player, which was pretty much the beginning of the end for him. The fact is that there was a whole phase wherein everybody thought it was only wrist spinners who can succeed in the shorter formats, which has slowly changed.
Should we wrap up by each one of us calling out one of his performances and why we like it?
I will go his batting in Mirpur with Shreyas to not just save the test but win it, because that is the game that took us to that WTC finals.
I don't want to look too far ahead other than the Sydney haste. I mean, I sometimes just think about the enormous physical pain somebody will be in when their lower back has given up. The guy couldn't put weight on either of the legs. And these guys, Australians, were relentless. They were making him stretch and play. They had Lyon and even Smith all bowling to that line where it would have been like excruciating pain every time to put that foot forward, block it, and then come back and stand up. And then if he had to check for any sort of, you know, reassurance from the pavilion, it was Jadeja sitting with a broken finger. And the 36 all-out loss behind and everything on the line, he just refused to give up. Yeah. And equal credit to Hanuma Vihari, who was holding his own on the other end. There is a reason we call it a test match. And that day, Ashwin proved to me why this is the best sport ever. It brings out the best in you. Not because it'll ever be counted as the highest runs, most number of runs, most number of boundaries, nothing like that, but just defiance.
I found the scorecard, so I'm going to go with the 2017 Bangalore Test match against Australia. 12.4 overs, 4 maiden, 41 runs, 6 wickets in the 4th innings. Australia chasing 188, succumbed to 112, all because of Ashwin.
For me, this is one of his lesser performances, but I thought it was something very, very special. It was in Adelaide, the 2018 tour. He just took 3 wickets. It was 3 for 92. And in the first innings, it was 3 for 57. The key is he bowled 90 overs. They scored at 1.6 runs in overs, and he completely blocked one end up. Allowed our quicks to operate at the other end. Well, he bowled 90 overs, almost, well, 90 overs from one end. And we won that game by 32 runs, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe 16 runs, I can't remember. But
I've got the scorecard, I'll get to it after you finish.
But that was a phenomenal piece of bowling. Over after over of pressure that these guys couldn't handle, and that actually set us up for that first series win.
They won by 31 runs, to your point, Vasant. But look at his bowling numbers, unbelievable. Ravichandran Ashwin, first innings, Australia makes 235 runs, but they're made to bat 98.4 overs. Ravichandran Ashwin bowls 34 overs at an economy of 1.67, 57 runs and 3 wickets. And that is just the first innings. In the second innings, Australia is chasing 323 and bowled out for 291, just short. 120 overs they batted. Ashwin bowled 52.5 overs for 92 runs at an economy of 1.74. That was a mind-boggling effort.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
And at the same Adelaide Oval, he picked up 4 for 55 in 2020 in the 36 all-out game.
Now we know why Rohit Sharma was keen to play him at this Adelaide Test, right?
The other 4 bowlers combined to bowl 60 overs. Vijay bowled 4, Shami 20, Bumrah 24, Ishan 19. So Ashwin bowled nearly 47% of the overs. Oh my God.
Well, so I think he spent a good amount of time talking about someone who I think we all agree is one of the greatest to have worn Indian colors, be it red ball, be it white ball. His contributions have been immense. Sad to see him go, but the flip of it is he's not going to go very far. He's going to come back as a broadcaster, as a podcaster, as a commentator, as a coach. He'll be there. He'll be around all the time. So we'll get to see him in other avatars, and hopefully he can give his wisdom to others. One comment stood out from yesterday. It was in Tamil. Washington Sundar. Washi, Tupakiya Pudi.
I interpreted it as some sort of a baton passing going on.
Well, let's hope that the torch or the baton is held aloft. And contrary to what you're worried about, Vijay, the next captain may not have to look very far to find that off-spinner who's going to give him the wickets in the overs in home tests. So with that, we come to a close for this special episode for Ravichandran Ashwin. In our next episode, we'll be talking about the test at the G. Until then, goodbye, everyone.
Thank you very much.